agenda item number 11. We have a short briefing here by the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Chris Moore, Virginia Senior Scientist, Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Thank you for providing me the opportunity. I know I'm between you all and lunch at this point, so I will remain quick. But and also, it worked out very well, I think, between having myself and going after Dr. Orth there, because he talked about the importance of water quality to the work and that he's doing, and it goes very well with what I want to talk about here today. Like I say, give you a little briefing. Chesapeake Bay Foundation late last year released a report on the economic benefits of the Chesapeake Bay TMDL, which is what we refer to as the Clean Water Blueprint. And the reason I wanted to update you all about it is because, one, you have such a strategic role in terms of managing our fisheries, and some of the greatest increases that we can see as we improve water quality is a result of our fisheries efforts, especially open water fisheries we have in Chesapeake Bay. And in addition to that, you all also have a very significant habitat management role, and that's going to be important as well as we continue down this path. So just a few things, nothing that is new to any of you all here, but we have a tremendous amount of fisheries, very variable fisheries here in Chesapeake Bay, from our recreational fisheries to our blue crab fishery, oyster fishery, and things like that. And you know, recent studies have shown that somewhere around $1 billion in economic impact to the state, somewhere around $700 million in sales as a result of those fisheries. The flip side of that is, unfortunately, the last couple of years, as those of you who have been on the commission a while have known, especially related to crabbing, this is one of our fisheries that has unfortunately been in economic decline. And we think a big reason for that is the fact that water quality is not what it should be out of Chesapeake Bay. And we're losing habitat through dead zones to blue crabs. We're losing the habitat that Dr. Orth talked about in terms of SAV because of lack of water quality, and that's putting downward pressure on the economic value of the fishery. Not only are we losing it in terms of millions of dollars of economic impact, but we're also losing the jobs related to this. And this is part of a report that CBF put out a couple years ago, but it was documenting the impacts of water quality and other factors on the blue crab fishery. And so this report from a couple years ago and some other work that had been done previously by folks like Doug Lipton and folks like that had been able to document where we were kind of and where we'd come from in terms of economic impacts in the Chesapeake Bay region. What we wanted to try to do was begin to look forward as to what we could expect if we move forward with water quality improvements and see some real benefits. So what I've given you all is the basic executive summary. If you'd like to read an additional about 50 pages, I'll be glad to give you the full report. But that has some additional data in there about how we actually came up with these numbers and things like that. But wanted to just give you a little background on the report. Its two lead authors were Dr. Spencer Phillips, who was a PhD economist in the region, teaches at Goucher and also at UVA. He worked with Beth McGee, who's a PhD from our staff, to come up with the methodology, the economic data for this, and pull all the information together. In addition to those folks who actually pulled it together, we had four external peer reviewers from the region, one from University of Delaware, one from the University of Maryland Economic Finance Center, and two other folks from a little bit farther outside the region. But basically what they did is they used the Chesapeake Bay program data, which I think you all are familiar with, at least at some level, includes a lot of different land uses and the open water uses in Chesapeake Bay. And then they basically took that and boiled that down to eight different ecosystem services that these areas provide. And so obviously as fisheries managers and habitat managers, what you all are most concerned about are the fisheries impacts and also the recreational impacts, because of the fact that our recreational uses included recreational fishing and things like that that you all have purview over. These are the eight we actually studied as part of that, and to actually come up with the various economic drivers for this, we were able to use a lot of data that has been generated by researchers here in Virginia. I think most of you know Dr. Rob Latour up at VIMS. Most of you know Doug Lipton up at the University of Maryland. Also Tom Murray, who's now at VIMS, and also Dr. Kirkley, who was at VIMS, unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But a lot of their benefits calculation information that they produced were the basis for running these economic models and showing how as water quality improves, the fisheries improves, the habitat such as SAV improves, and we end up with more robust fisheries and hopefully less tough decisions for you all to make as fisheries managers. This is an approach that's been used in a number of different areas. The Everglades is one where a very similar approach has been done. Puget Sound is another area where this type of economic analysis has been done. And so this is not something new for the Chesapeake Bay region, but it's not something new on a nationwide scale. And so we hope, again, that lends more credibility to this. And we think that there always has, for a long time, having worked throughout the Chesapeake Bay region, there's been this question about, you know, what is the economic value of the bay? And so this report gives us an economic value now based on all these indicators. It gives us an economic value if we continue kind of business as usual, and then we give an economic value based on what we hope is an improved system moving forward. So, like I say, the two that I think you all would be most interested in, we've talked a little bit about today already, obviously, with leasing, but the food production part, and this is one of the areas where, with improved water quality, we actually get the biggest increases, somewhere between 24% and 47% increases in the value we would get for oysters, for blue crabs, things like that moving forward. If we can make these changes, that will increase the amount of SAV, increase water quality in Chesapeake Bay, lower or remove the area of the dead zone so crabs have more places to forage and things like that, will have tremendous economic benefit for the state. And like I say, hopefully make your jobs easier as fisheries managers moving forward. The next area is recreation. Obviously, a tremendous part of the state's economy here in Virginia. Obviously, a tremendous part of that is Chesapeake Bay region and people coming to fish here, whether they're fly fishing or on a boat, things like that. This is another area where we really see great improvement, about a 24% increase in recreational opportunities for anglers and folks like that who are out there on the water. So another area where, again, hopefully it makes your job easier. You have more people buying licenses, so you have more funds to use as an agency, but also you're allowed to allow the people to catch a few more fish instead of being in a situation where we tend to have to catch less fish as we've been doing the last couple of years. So benefits of that. This is total value. I just wanted to kind of throw this up there real quick so you get an idea. I talked about the current value, and this is including all eight of those ecosystem services, not just the two that I talked about previously, but about $108 billion. And hopefully that answers the question that has been posed a lot as to how much is the bay worth. And again, maybe as you're talking with folks, you can use that information in the future. Like I say, about a $22 billion increase in economic benefits for the region as we continue to improve bay water quality. And like I say, a lot of that will hopefully come from the open water aspect, which is the fisheries that you all manage, recreational aspect that you all manage as well. And then how does that kind of boil down to Virginia? Virginia actually gets some of the greatest increases in this, partly because we have so much open water. In terms of Chesapeake Bay, we have a lot of open water in terms of the river systems that we have. But somewhere between a 20 and 30% increase in our economic value by having this clean water out there, following through with the steps of what we call the Chesapeake Bay Blueprint, which is the TNBL. And so we hope that's something, like I say, that provides additional economic opportunities for you all, from whether it's more crabs out there to less areas that are currently closed for shellfish harvesting, things like that. Because although the Chesapeake Bay Blueprint is focused on nitrogen and phosphorus, a lot of the things that we will be doing to reduce those loads will actually help reduce those loads for fecal coliforms and things like that as well. that are currently closed in areas and removing them from areas where we can currently grow shellfish. So, like I say, if you want to get the whole report, please get in touch with me. I can give you a copy of the whole report, or you can go online and get it there as well. And thank you for having me and letting me discuss this for a few minutes with you all today.
Thank you, Chris. Very interesting. Any questions from the commission? Thank you very much, sir. Sure.